come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, as we just get into your word, I thank you, Lord, for what you have given us tonight. I thank you, Father, that you're going to speak tonight. I know, Lord, that we've come here waiting to hear from you. And Lord, whenever we are listening and waiting to hear from you, we will hear from you. No matter what the person up here is saying, we will hear what you're saying to us. And so, Lord, I just pray for a fresh anointing of the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as I just share what you've put on my heart to share with the ladies. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give me. Lord, I pray for our country in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, that you would have your way in this country, that you would cause us, Lord, to draw close to you and know exactly what you want us to do, when you want us to do it, where you want us to do it. Lord, whatever it is, we pray, Father, that you would just direct our steps and those that are leaders in our country, Lord. That at the end of the day, we want you to be glorified, and we thank you for the privilege of praying for our country. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. And so we get into Psalm 119, where our first section is called, in verses 49 through 56, we are calling that the source of comfort, the source of comfort. Remember the word unto your servant. This is my comfort. In the time of affliction, God's teaching have been his stay, and in the songs, his songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I love that phrase, in the house of my pilgrimage there. God's word is indeed my source of comfort. It wasn't long ago that I lost my Bible. This Bible, this word of God is very, very precious to me. And I lost my Bible somewhere here in the church, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I searched high and low, could not find it anywhere. One day, a Banshee, I'm sure, had stashed it away for me and kept me from finding it. But when she cleaned up my office for me, she does such a great job. Anyway, it's her office too. I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, I lost my Bible and I found it in my office. But when I found it in my office, I remember just holding it to my chest and just starting to cry because I love the Word of God. Can you imagine people in Asia who are holding the Word of God to their chest because they are so excited about what they can hold the Word of God? That's not everywhere. That they love the Word of God so dearly that they would press it to themselves and share it with others. And so this Bible, this Word of God, means so much to me. I have a date in my written in my Bible at verse 49. It's there because just previous to reading this scripture, that God had given me a specific word in the book of Jeremiah. Now, I'm not going to share with you the word that God gave to me because it is a word that he gave just to me. But as I put the date on that word in Jeremiah, and then I come to verse 49 in here in Psalm 119, and it says, and I see the words that spoken to God by the author. And by the way, all of this, you've already been taught, I'm sure, all of this looks to me to be a prayer that this person, this author is putting in here. It looks to me to be a prayer. And so he's talking to God, and he says to God, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. That's why I have put a date on this particular thing, because I am reminding God by way of reminding myself the word that God gave to me. This word has caused me to hope. It has caused me to hope when it appears that there is no hope. In fact, the word you gave me, Lord, is it comforts me when things are looking dark, when it looks like what you said, God, is never going to happen. Do you have some of those words that God has given you and you look at it and you say, it is never going to happen? I'm sure of it. It's never going to happen. Because we love the word of God, because we love his law, because we love his statutes, that word of God is there. It gives us hope. He is a man of his word. And that hope, that word gave me comfort. It's what comforts me when things are dark. In fact, your word has given me life, it says in this. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. It has given me new life. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself is the word of God. It is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us because the word became flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross for our sins. We have a hope. We have that hope of eternal life. That's the hope we have. That's a greater hope than any other hope, that we have that hope of eternal life that Jesus has given to us. Remember your word to me. You know, Lord, the one that caused me to hope, because when I'm afflicted, when my circumstances, when my feelings challenge me and they challenge that hope in me, your word, it is your word that gives me hope. It's your word that gives me comfort. Your word to me and for me have given me hope. Not only hope, but it has given me life itself. That is all wrapped up in those verses there. Now in verse 51, the proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. The proud have me in great derision. They laugh at me. They make fun of me. But it doesn't change anything about my relationship with you, Lord. What other people think of me, what other people say about me, what others are feeling about what I do, it doesn't change my relationship with Jesus Christ. It will never change that relationship and with the Lord and with his law. I simply remembered, it says in these verses, your judgments from way back when. And knowing that you are a man of your word and you said that judgments are yours, I know that I can trust you, and that I find comfort in that. Do you find comfort in your boundaries in your life? Or are you always fighting against those boundaries? We have boundaries set up in our lives for a purpose, for a reason. God has set those up so that we don't wander and go off and go astray. I just saw this great video about a shepherd calling his sheep, and he had some others call. There were three other people that were up there, and each one of them called the sheep, and the sheep just, dude, who are you? And then the shepherd walks up, and he calls them, and the sheep immediately lift up their heads, and then they come running at him. They come running right to him because they recognized his voice. And I don't know how that really has to do with this, but the Lord just reminded me of this. It doesn't change who the shepherd is and my relationship to the shepherd. No matter what anybody else is saying or doing, it doesn't change anything about our relationship. I simply remembered your judgments from way back. It comforted me that you have not changed. The proud want to bring me down. They're wanting me to turn my back on you, Lord, but nothing they do or say can change the hope that you've given me. There is nothing that anybody can say or do that can change the hope that Jesus Christ has given me. I will not let go of your word, of your law, of your statutes. I will not let go. I'm going to keep them. It is a determination that I've settled in my heart. I will not let them go. And God, I know you're never going to let me go. God is never going to let you go. He will never, 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 ever let you go. And we need to remember that, because there are going to be dark times. There are going to be times when we're looking and we're going to think, where are you, God? Maybe we've lost our faith. We don't lose our faith. We've done actions to put us in a place where we question our faith, don't we? And we need to remember that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I've remembered your judgments in the past, and that brings me comfort, brings comfort to me. I comfort myself with this knowledge. I bring my thoughts captive by the fruit of the Spirit, which is also, I've determined, a gift of the Spirit, that gift, that fruit of self-control. Oh, but I don't want to do self-control. That means I have to give up stuff. You know, I was just talking to someone recently, and they said, I can't control my anger. Oh, but you can. Oh, but you can. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, I can control my anger. I can control those other things that think they have control of me, but it is an act of my will, and it is a gift that God has given me, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit that causes me to be able to stand when it looks like all else around me is falling apart. I don't allow myself to settle in with the what ifs. What if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if the earthquake comes? And what if the flood goes through where my house is? And what if this happens? I have a question. What if it doesn't? Why do we never say, what if that never happens to me? How will I live my life if that never happens to me? Why do we center in on those what ifs in the area of the negative? Let's look at the what if God delivers me from that, because he will deliver us from all things. Doesn't mean you won't go through tough stuff, but you will be delivered. In verse 53, indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I get angry, I get brokenhearted when I see those who have forsaken your word, those who have forsaken his law. I am astounded by the people that I know that I came to Christ with back in the tent days, old friends, people who with me stood and praised the Lord, people who were hands lifted, rejoicing in what God had done in their lives, what God had delivered them from. And I see them today and they're not walking with Christ. It breaks my heart. Can you imagine what it does to the heart of God to see people in that way? Great indignation has taken hold of me because of this. I sing your words. I memorize your words in this mortal body. You're memorizing something this week. What is that? Okay, so you really have it down, I can see. And we're still working on that one for this week. But we're going to learn those. We're going to sing your words, memorize your words in this mortal body, this house, this tent, that it's here for such a short time. This body was not meant to last forever. And did you hear on the news that any of our bodies only have a shelf life of 115 years? So I do not want to live 115 years. First of all, I want God to take me home before that. But this body was not meant to last forever, because God wants to give us a new body. He wants to give us something new. And it doesn't really matter how good I eat, how much I walk, how much exercise I do. All of those things matter some. But this body is still going to get old. It's still going to waste away. It's still going to be prone to some kind of disease or other, some kind of, at least a cold, for goodness sakes. We get that occasionally. But these bodies were not meant to be our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. I've heard it said that home is where your heart is. I've heard it said that home is where your stuff is. But I would say to you, home is where Jesus is. That's my home, where Jesus is. Home is where Jesus is. The house of my pilgrimage, it says. Pilgrimage is a pilgrim on a journey to a holy place. How about that pilgrimage to heaven that we're on right now? A pilgrim is one who travels to a holy place, one who travels, one who keeps moving forward. A pilgrim is someone who keeps moving forward. not turning around to go the other direction, to go back to old things, to go back to old things. I just said that twice, didn't I? Don't go back to old things. I'm telling you. That's three times now, so you have to really pay attention. Don't go back to those old things. Always move forward to our heavenly home. We always want to move forward. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. In verse 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. And we'll see what has become mine because I kept your precepts. I remember your name. I remember your word in the dark times, in the darkness of the night of my life. In the dark times of my life. Those times when it feels like we are never going to see the light of day again. When we think the sun is never going to come up again. It is not going to change. Everything is going to remain the same. I am never going to get out of this. And you see a light at the end of the tunnel and you feel like it probably is a train. Because you're set for destruction. It is God's word that will sustain you through those times. It is God's word. It is God's law. It is God's statutes that will sustain you in those dark times. And because I have sung and memorized your word, it causes me to keep them in my actions. Because I have sung and memorized your word, it causes me to keep them in my actions. Our actions always show what we really believe and what we are really like. I know you've all heard the phrase, I can't, your actions are speaking so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. It makes a difference how we live our lives. It makes a huge difference. Your law is mine. I treasure it. I love your law. Therefore, I keep your law. If you had a locket that you treasured, you would hang on to it. You would keep it. You would make sure it was in a safe place. And the safest place for me to hide the treasure of the word of God is in my heart, that I might not sin against him. Now, in verses 56 through 64, we're calling that the resolution of faithfulness. The resolution of faithfulness. I have said that I would keep your words, and thinking in this way brought this author to the point where he could turn his feet unto God's testimonies, and his gratitude is evident in his promise to arise at midnight to thank God. And so verse 57 says, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You are my portion, O Lord. I get to have God as my portion. The Levites got to have God as their portion. They didn't get any land, but God was their portion. And here we have in the Psalms, it says, you are my portion, O Lord. In Jeremiah 10, verses 14 through 16, you can read at another time, but it says, my portion is the maker of all things. That's my portion. That's your portion. The maker of all things belongs to you. That is your portion. That's something worth getting excited about. I entreated, I begged for, I cried out for your favor with all of my heart. Your word says that you are merciful. I beg, I cry out for, I entreat your favor. Be merciful, because that is what your word says that you are full of mercy. God is full of mercy. Numbers 14, 18, the Lord is long-suffering, that is, he is patient, and he is abundant in mercy. In 1 Chronicles 16, 34, and Psalm 106, 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. It also says his mercy endures unto all generations. He is a merciful God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, according to your word that I trust. I trust the word of God. I trust that because the Lord is my portion, because I keep his words, because he is merciful, just like he said he would be, because I sought him with my whole heart, verse 59, I thought about my ways. Because I knew that the Lord was my portion, because I knew that the Lord was merciful, I thought about my ways and I found out that there were some ways that I was messing up in. I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. Because I sought your mercy, because I sought you with all my heart to fulfill your word and that you would be merciful to me, it caused me to look at how I was living. And I noticed that I was going in the wrong direction in some places. So what did I do? I repented. I repented. I turned around. It's like the prodigal son in Luke 15, 17. He came to his senses, it said, but when he came to himself, he said, now you know the story of the prodigal son. He was the one who took his inheritance before it was time, before his dad died. He told his dad, I don't want to wait for you to die. I want my money now. And he took all of his money and he wasted it on riotous living. And then he came to the point where he had nothing and he realized. And have you ever had God take you to that place where you have nothing? And it causes you to realize what you did have. And so hopefully it causes us then to be like this young man. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare while I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer to even be called your son, but please let me live as your servant. And here he is, make me one of your hired servants. The man, the boy, repented, turned around, and went the other way. He turned his feet to the law of his father, and apparently that law that his father had was filled with mercy. Here we see that just like Jesus, the father accepted his son who had repented, and the father celebrated at the repentance, It says in the word that angels rejoice over one lost sinner who repents every time. Every time there's excitement going on in heaven. Did you see them? They accepted you. I'm so excited. They're singing, they're praising, they're excited over one person who'd given their life to Christ. Verse 60 says that he didn't procrastinate. As soon as he was aware of what to do, he did it. Instant confession, instant forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That instant forgiveness, our instant confession, and instant forgiveness. Psalm 95:7, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. We have so many distractions. We don't allow ourselves time to hear from God. And then we're shocked because we don't hear from God. I was watching a video that someone shared with me, and there's this gal who's talking to her husband, and she tells him, he says, have you heard anything from the Lord on this particular issue? And she says, no, I haven't heard anything yet, as she got out of bed and went in and turned on the radio as she got her coffee ready, got the lunches ready, got the kids ready, drove them in the car. While she was in the car, she put in a CD so that she could listen to that. And then she drove on. She went to the grocery store, and at the grocery store, they have music going on, lots of people talking. She went in and had some coffee over at the place where they play that nice music that keeps away the silence. And then she went on to the next thing. And then she went to her exercise class that was with other music to drone out the silence. And then when she came home at the end of the day, her husband said, has the Lord spoken anything to you today? And she said, I haven't heard a word. Why? Because there was no silence. There was no time to hear from the Lord. Why is it that we are so afraid of silence? Why is it that it is so uncomfortable? You know, when you're sitting in a circle and people are praying and it gets silent and you go, is it my turn to pray? Are they waiting for me? Let me see. Around the circle, there was it has it gotten to me and I should be praying? We panic when that silence comes and we don't know what to do with it. That was 20 seconds of silence, and most of us couldn't deal with it. And God calls us into that silent place. You remember the story in 1 Kings 19:14, after God asked Elijah what he was doing in that particular cave, we see Elijah in. He's lamenting over everyone forsaken. Everyone has forsaken God's covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. You know the story of Elijah and all the things that took place before all of this is being said. Then in 1 Kings 19, verse 11, it says, God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains, which must have been terrifying, because it broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice was heard by Elijah in the silence. And so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. That is, he put his cloak or his clothing over his face and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Years ago, one particular case I recall happening to me when I felt just like Elijah. I felt like I cannot do this Christian thing. I can't. I cannot be that good. I can't do these things. I can't let go of these things. I'm no good. I can't handle anything. I'm just a wretch. I'm done with it. I can't do this. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, what are you doing in this place, Joy? What are you doing here? It was that still small voice that caused me to respond immediately and to repent. I didn't put it off. I repented. It makes me sound really great, right? For that moment. I turned around and I got back to where I once belonged. Yes, the Beatles had it right. Get back, get back, get back to where you once belonged. That's what we need to do. Get back to where we once belonged when we're in that place. Instant confession, instant forgiveness. I turned my feet to God's testimonies. I knew them to be true. Have I ever felt that way again? Yes, I have. And what have I done with it? I have repented. As soon as I realized what I was doing, I repented, I turned around, and I walked in the other direction. That's what God calls us to do. When you hear that still small voice of God, respond in repentance. Don't harden your heart. Turn your feet to God's testimonies. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. I'm not going to forget your word because I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. I have memorized that word. I've hidden it in my heart. In the middle of the night, it says, at midnight, jet lag is a good time to remember this. The very fact that I lay there and complain about not sleeping means that I still have life and I still have a lot of things to be thankful for. And I can lay there at midnight, wide awake, praying for someone besides myself to get sleep. I do pray for him to keep me awake during the day, but you remember Acts 16, 25 through 32, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns in the prison. And there they were. The prisoners were listening to them, and the prison doors opened, and their chains were broken. It all led them to sharing the Lord with the guard and to all who were in that house. There is something about praising that breaks the chains in our life. There is just something about praising that will break those chains. Praising and being thankful may not change my circumstances. Paul and Silas remained in the jail that night. Their circumstances didn't change, but their response to that their circumstances did change. And my circumstances might not ever change, but my response to those circumstances will make all the difference. And because of how we respond, others' lives are changed, just like in Greenleaf in drought. People who weren't allowed to speak to anyone. They were allowed to go out and get food and come back into their house, go out and get water, come back into their house, not allowed to say a word to any one person. And the missionary that I spoke to that is in Tibet now said that the people that he was talking to, they said there were three religions in the world. There was Muslim, there was Buddhism, and there is compassion. Because of this family who couldn't say a word about Christ, because of the way that they lived, these people learned about compassion and still know about this family today. They know about Christ because this family lived what they couldn't talk about. There was something different about them. Verse 63, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I am to be friends with others that have that kind of relationship with God, the ones who also keep the word, the law, the precepts of God. I am to be friends with all who keep his words, whether they do everything I like or not. Because there is something about everybody that's annoying. There are a lot of things about me that are annoying. And it doesn't give us any right to not befriend people because they annoy us. It's called grace. And it's the kind of grace I like to receive. That means I am to defend and encourage others that are Christ followers. That means that I don't have even one-on-one conversations about another's shortcomings. Even when I think no one else can hear me. Even when it's only in my heart because God knows my heart. If you're a follower of me on Instagram, you saw an apology with scripture. That scripture was Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. I put it on Instagram, not because I'm a great person, not because I'm humble, but for a reason. I didn't know who else might have heard a discouraging remark that I made while speaking in private, so I thought. And someone else heard. God convicted me, and he reminded me of this scripture. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds it back until after. I don't have a date on that scripture in my Bible because I've had to use it a lot of times, and it grieves my heart. There have been so many times that I have played the fool by speaking and venting all of my feelings and not being encouraging to other people at all times. As we've seen in this particular election, be sure your sins will find you out. Maybe in 11 years, maybe in 20 years, maybe after we die. Let's deal with sin now so that when something comes out, people look at us and they say, I don't believe that about that person. That's not the person I know. and they know that was the old man. My dear friends, the writer reminds the Lord, the earth is full of your mercy, Lord, and because of that, will you, Lord, keep on teaching me? Teach me, Lord, teach me to be merciful, teach me to be gracious, teach me to be compassionate, and teach me to be loving. And may the Lord speak to our hearts and change us in those areas that he needs to change us. May he always convict us of our sin. May we never have that hardened heart that says, it's okay, they have to get over it. I do pray that that discouraging remark, that that person will get over it because the Lord will help them. And I'm thankful for the forgiveness that God has given me. And I'm thankful that he made me deal with it. Because I don't ever want to hurt somebody again by my words. So, Lord, I thank you that you remind us and you don't allow us, Lord, to stay in those places that don't bring glory to your name. But, Father, you use it all to bring around to it, getting glory from it at the end of the day. I am thankful, Lord, that your presence is here. I am thankful, Lord, for your love for us. I am thankful, Lord, that you convict our hearts of sin and that you continue to make us grow and to you're not willing that we should stay in the same place. Help us to grow in love and compassion and grace. Help us to give the kind of grace, Lord, that you've given to us. To always be gracious. And Lord, again, we pray for our country. Father, we pray that we pray for the leaders. We pray, God, for ourselves to be wise. As we go to the polls, Lord, we pray for gifts of wisdom and gifts of knowledge, Lord. We want to be faithful to who you tell us to follow. Help us, Lord, remind us to invest that time on our knees before we vote, so that you can be glorified, and when things happen, we know that we've done what you've called us to do. And we can walk in that confidence, Lord. I pray that you would fill up these ladies, Lord. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would anoint them afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as they're in their small groups, that they would know your presence as they love one another, as they show compassion, as they show love, as they show grace to one another. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.